There's a term in Heather's news, sloppers. I saw them in the wild over the weekend. We'll get to it at 8:35.
Huh.
Tiger baseball.
Where you were hanging out with sloppers.
Okay. They're all around us, John. You can't avoid them anymore. And this was maybe the grossest example. Anyway, Tiger baseball over the weekend. We got a chance to see a couple of the new faces. Finnegan on Saturday looked the part. That was the real Major League bullpen arm they added. Charlie Morton.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, 41 years old, didn't need the walking cane to get out there, struck out six in six innings. That'll play, but the team lost 2-3. Do you feel better or worse about the team post-deadline?
Well, I don't like that they got shut out yesterday 2-0, and runners in scoring position five times couldn't find a way to get one of them across the plate, which would have meant they still would have lost 2-1. But I do like the fact that they addressed the pitching staff. We got Paddock. In exchange for Olson. Now, Olson didn't go anywhere, but he's out for the regular season. And you go out there and you get Charlie Morton, who performed extremely well yesterday against a very good lineup.
Yeah, it struck out the side in the fourth, four, five, and six, rolled it over, struck out more to start the fifth. Yeah, I was surprised. That's the best start he's had in over a month.
Finnegan looked good when we saw him on Friday night. And I am curious how that affects Will Vest. And even Tommy Canley, where you have another weapon to use and you don't have to use Will Vest every single time. Now, maybe one gets to the other, but, you got Melton that we are waiting to see in coming out of the bullpen as well. And I think you have, looking at these guys, looking at this staff, and if they put Morton in the bullpen when you get to the postseason, along with Melton, who's going to have some bumps, right? He's a young player, but he throws some nice heat.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to Vest, getting to Morton, getting to Finnegan, all of a sudden looks a little bit better.
So did you feel better then?
I felt better, yeah.
Okay. You're typically not
still
the silver linings
two
guy.
Out of three.
They lost the games, but the players they added, you feel better having seen them pitch for the Detroit Tigers.
The question now is going to be how do they create runs? How do they manufacture runs?
Well,
do they get guys across home plate, which is the goal? You got to outscore your opponents.
But that is also a way of looking at the trade deadline. They didn't add a bat, and then they were shut out when they faced high-end pitching, which is what they'd face in the ALCS or the World Series, really the entire postseason. So I ended up feeling worse. The team that made the bold, aggressive moves, their reliever, their closer, shuts the door in two of the three. You lose two of the three. Friday night, you didn't even get to Finnegan because the bullpen still isn't good enough. And then on Sunday, you get shut out. You're leading off Matt Vierling. They didn't need a bat? Like, I felt worse. I felt like, the team's still going to win their division. I think August is going to be chock full of wins for this baseball team, and they'll be a postseason team. But when they get to the postseason, I think you saw the thing that's going to get them eliminated.
It's one of the reasons why they could be eliminated, sure. And I think if you look at any roster, even if you're looking at the Dodgers, like there's no perfect roster. There's some that are closer than others, and the Dodgers are really close.
Mm-hmm.
But each roster is going to have reasons why they could get eliminated. Now, if you get into the postseason and the bats go silent, then sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, could you have done more at the trade deadline when you look back? Yeah. They didn't add a bat.
So you guys let us know. Actually, we're going to make this a poll question so we can use it as an easy cheat throughout the rest of the show here, whether you feel better or worse.
Okay.
Are you disappointed?
No,
we made it a poll
I
question?
Think that's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see what the people think.
Greg, you can delete it if it's a bad idea, I guess.
Oh, no.
Is it even right now, you said?
No, I was going to say, or the same is also an option.
Oh, yeah, but that's the easy way out. You got to say better or worse. I feel the same is kind of a cop-out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you never stay the same. You're either better or you're worse.
Right. You get through a trade deadline and you're either better or worse. Now, look, I know people are going to point out the Yankees didn't exactly get off to a hot start Friday night with their arms either.
No.
John, it was one after the other batting practice.
Yeah, but their big issue is, and the relievers that they signed are going to be just fine. But the issue that they're facing is just being productive in the field. Because if you look on Friday night, small sample size, did we want Jake Bird?
Yeah, he was the guy we talked about. Yeah.
David Bednar.
Definitely talked about him.
Uh-huh. And Camilo Duvall.
Yeah, after the deadline, we thought, boy, that's all it took to get him.
Okay, so on Friday night, those three relievers, entered the game for the mighty New York Yankees.
Pinstripes.
And they gave up a combined 9 runs.
Is that all?
4 earned by Jake Bird, 2 earned by David Bednar, and 3 runs, only one of them earned, by Camilo Duvall.
Yeah.
And they end up losing 13-12. They got swept by the Marlins for the first time in the history of their series.
Are you serious? That's the first time the Marlins have ever swept
the
Yankees?
The first time the Marlins have swept the Yankees. Yes, yes. Stat of the day.
So some of this is like there's pressure in New York, and we'll see. Look, the Tigers aren't going to be judged by this weekend, and those Yankee relievers aren't going to be judged by Friday night. They're going to be judged by the postseason, and they got guys with better track records.
If they make the postseason.
That's a good point. They're on the line.
The Tigers are going to be in the postseason.
But they're going to be relying more on, like, hey, can they get lightning in a bottle? Can they, like, find those pitchers with flaws? Can they get them in a groove at the right time to steal something? Because they don't have enough proven commodities in their bullpen right now. So they are relying on threading a needle when they get to the postseason.
They are trying to thread a needle. There are a bunch of teams that are trying to thread the needle.
No, I know it gets misconstrued. I'm going to root like hell that they thread the needle. I mean, I want to see them do something historic. I loved seeing Charlie Morton go out there at 41 years old and turn back time. Do I expect that throughout the rest of the season and in the postseason? No, I think that'd be unfair to expect. Right? Like, I mean, that was the best start he's had in a month.
Yes.
And I think some of that's the adrenaline, new team.
Sure, new team.
AJ's
go out there
and
show and prove. But he's also on a much better team than he was on. And he knows that his clock is ticking. It literally is ticking in regards to being able to win a World Series. So he's going to go out there and give you his A game every single time.
Got a ticket texture that says Kenny Rogers vibes.
Okay.
Look, that's what you're hoping for. Texter says, I'm feeling okay after the deadline. They looked alive last night against the Phillies. Haven't seen that kind of energy since before the All-Star break. Let's go. Nick at work.
It was a great series. Now, they ended up losing the series 2-3. I mean, 2-1.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. I'll just put it in a little bit different way. Mm-hmm. In a 7-game series, can they beat the Philadelphia Phillies in a 7-game series?
You and this can word. Yes, they can. If they played a 7-game series, would you expect them to? I would not.
Would you expect any team that comes out of the American League to beat a team that comes out of the National League in the World Series?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, if it's the Dodgers and the Phillies, no, I think those teams would be favored over everybody in the AL. Now, if it's Mets, would be interesting. If the Cubs won, I think the Tigers could be favored against the Cubs. Look, I know the thing is getting the dance, see what happens, but other teams put themselves in a better position to dance longer, including the Phillies.
Yeah.
Tech says, I was a little down after the deadline, but the Tigers played a competitive series against Philly. I felt like it was the playoffs. Crowd was electric. Morton and Finnegan had great first appearances. Mm-hmm. John, I'm going to write him down as feeling better.
Yeah.
First half of the year was optimism and excitement. Second half and post-deadline, anxiety and disappointment, Matt and Heartland. Is that just because the expectations start to hit?
Well, yeah. I mean, you change your expectations throughout the course of the season. We did it with the Lions last year. We've done it with all the teams. When you start performing a certain way, good or bad, you're able to reassess the expectations. And the expectation going into the season was, hey, can we just win this division? Or can we be a wild card team? Can we stay above 500? Well, when you're 20 games above 500, you tend to change your expectations.
I thought this well before the deadline, and I still think it now. I don't think this team will win a playoff series, whether it's 3 games in the wild card, 5 in the ALDS, or more. I think this team is going to be one and done, and everyone will be disappointed.
That's just a little hangover from the Lions season? Because right now, they're not even playing in the wild card.
Right. They would avoid the round altogether.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody... Like, this team's better than the last year's team, right?
Yes. Yes.
So they can win certainly a wild card round. They did that last year.
Yeah.
And they can win a 5-game series. I think it's getting into a 7-game series against a good lineup. And can the Tigers hitting match the other team's hitting?
Well, you might smoke and mirrors with some of these bullpen reclamation projects, but in a 7-game series, you can't hide them. Like, guys are going to see them a second or third time in a 7-game series. And that's where you may feel how thin the pen really is.
Mine's still the bat. I just... I felt before the deadline, if they didn't add a power bat on the right side, that they couldn't win the World Series, that they couldn't beat the Dodgers or Phillies, Padres possibly, in a seven-game series, that their pitching would get exposed throughout a longer series, and then the bats would dry up.
Were you surprised how dismissive Scott Harris was of the idea of adding a right-handed bat? Because he said, we maul left-handed pitching. He really didn't give much thought to the fact that they, quote, needed a right-handed bat.
I'm not surprised he said it, because if it's GM talk to a degree, to be honest with you. Look, it's from the rumors and stuff before the deadline, sounds like they were interested. So,
right, you know, after the deadline, what do you expect them to say? Yeah, well, boy, we really needed a right-handed bat.
It's kind of like AJ back and his guys, you know. It's
okay,
like,
let me ask it a little differently. Are you surprised he didn't add a right-handed bat?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
The Sabanias thing, it just happens in spurts, you know. I just think in a series, and Vierling's bat has got to get going. They need last year's version of Matt Vierling. You get that, and then maybe you have something.
Well, that's why I say, like, they are threading a needle, right? They need to catch it at the right time, that lightning in a bottle. Like, mm-hmm. Vierling's got to be hot in the right series. Green has to be hot in the right series. He's very streaky.
Well, especially if you're going to lead off moment. Vierling, and he goes 0-for.
Yeah.
You know what? I do think the slump that they had a couple weeks ago and all that, with Kerry Carpenter out, they missed him probably more than we thought they did. He does have an intimidating presence. He hits that home run that stops the bleeding in a 11 out of 12.
Yeah, but he's a lefty.
I know.
And they don't have that guy on the other side.
I think we all, not many people were saying, oh, they really miss Carpenter. They really miss Carpenter. That's part of the slump. I do think that was probably the number one reason why it got that bad.
I would agree that he was missed.
Yeah, because he's a threat in your lineup.
Yes.
He allows AJ to do some different things with how he constructs his lineup.
Texter says, can someone please shut Cookies up? The deadline is over. Same narrative. Guys, we're reflecting on the weekend.
I'm just waiting for Darren McCarty to walk in.
I mean, in some ways, they went up against a top-notch NL team.
Yeah, good measuring stick.
You know, really good power lineup, and they held serve.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to win the series.
And it wasn't the Tigers.
Because of the little flaws that we've just discussed.
That have not been addressed enough. They're going to be in the thick of it. You guys tell us. They got good contributions from Morton and Finnegan. Do you feel better or worse? 248-539-9797.
In sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, it's personal, and the same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Femininio steps in. And trust me, after an accident, you need an attorney who's going to make it personal. That someone is David Femininio. His slogan is "Get David, get paid." Well, to him, it's not just a slogan. It's his promise to take care of you. So if you or someone you know has been injured, tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Defense was there for Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Ticket Texters are beating him up, though. 0-for-13 over the weekend at the plate.
Yeah, well, so on Twitch, here's one for you. They're kind of going full Matthew Stafford on him. Riley Green continues to prove he's just a stat patter and only gets hits when it doesn't matter. So he does lead the team in RBIs. Mm-hmm. He's got, what, 86?
Yeah, he'll end up with 100-plus.
Oh, yeah. He does lead the team in home runs with 26, and Torque's got 23. Kerry Carpenter's at 18, but he's missed some time. His OPS still leads the team of guys with significant at-bats at 825.
So when you said this, I did want to look it up, okay, because I don't freak out about Riley Green, but this is clearly like a narrative.
Mm-hmm. Because he does strike out a lot.
He does strike out a lot. John, when the Tigers are leading, he bats 328. When the Tigers are trailing, he bats 198. I was a little surprised. I mean, the text has a little validity. High leverage situations, he bats 212. Low leverage, 286. Two outs, runners in scoring position, he bats 204. Late and close, he bats 135. Hmm. Interesting.
It is. I mean, it's something.
I vetted the text. At first blush, I thought that was silly, but there's some validity to it.
Yeah.
Texter says, the Tigers hit the jackpot initially. Can they keep it up for the rest of the season? Pitching is the key. Team keeps swinging for the fences. Put bat on ball. They're way better That's it says way better Jim.
Yeah, so way better since the trade deadline.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. and to you.
Okay, they're way better since the trade deadline.
Yeah,
okay.
Jim. Sending you a message.
Right. They lost 2 of 3 this weekend, right? They were shut out on Sunday and famously didn't add a bat at the deadline. Friday night, they couldn't even get to their new guy, Finnegan, because the bullpen was having issues. Maybe we watched 2 different weekends. Like, Saturday was fun, but they lost the series over the weekend. Phillies are a World Series caliber ball club that you're measuring yourself against. Their big addition shut the door and made as big an impact as anybody over the weekend.
I think they're also, fans are looking at this as, yeah, the Phillies are contending for a World Series.
We
so are the
not.
Tigers.
Are we?
I believe we are, yes.
I mean, they are, but I'm saying like they acted like it at the trade deadline.
I'm happy with what they did. Would I have loved to have had in a bat? Yes. There's a lot of things I would have loved to have added, but I thought that their most urgent need was the bullpen and pitching.
Tech says, AL sucks. We can win this league, but I worry about a 7-gamer against Dodgers, Phillies, teams like that. I don't know how we can make it work. Guys, am I crazy to say when we face a lefty and you don't have Carp in the lineup, it hurts you. That's a heart and soul guy. He's our most intimidating bat.
It does. It changes how AJ puts the lineup together. We saw that, and Tom brought up a great point. Maybe in that 13-game stretch, without having Kerry Carpenter just in the lineup, not that he was going to be your great savior and come in and hit, you know, 6 home runs in the span of that time, but he is a guy that you've got to address in the lineup.
How about this ticket texter who says, we need to make Riley a benched bat against lefties. We do it with Carp. Why don't we do it with Green? Riley Green this season has a 947 OPS against righties. That's elite. Against lefties, it's 604. If you want to do the matchups and the small ball and the leverage, then well, Riley Green's a platoon bat, right?
Yeah, but if he's not in the lineup, you don't get his glove in the outfield.
Right, I know.
They are taking note. He batted 5th last night. I don't know if he's batted that low all season.
I mean, it'd be interesting because he's clearly a star player and one of the leaders of this team. But if your philosophy is everybody takes a seat for the almighty matchup, Riley Green now, it's you know, we're not early in the season. He doesn't hit lefties. And they'll sit Carp, so why not Green? Well, so the answer might be they don't have another bat. Well, yeah, well, but that's who you could add at the deadline, right? Is the counter, the chess piece, the other side.
They don't need it.
I know. 248-539-9797. All right, we're going to get to a term from Heather's News, sloppers. 835, I encountered some of them in person.
Hanging out with them.
Let's not go that far.
Mingling.
Well, no, you are. You were hanging out with them.
They were hanging out around me.
So you were hanging out with them.
Heather with the news.
A Wyandotte police officer went above and beyond the call of duty when he saw an elderly resident struggling to mow her lawn. This is such a great story. So when his shift ended, Officer Jonathan Cox returned to this woman's home and completely transformed her yard. So he first spotted this woman, Dory Oliver, trying to push a mower with one hand while balancing on her walker with the other hand.
Oh, kudos to her.
She says
for getting after it.
She says she's been trying, but really struggling with her yard. Hasn't received the help. She says she's reached out to some companies, but nobody's ever showed up. So she's trying her best to do what she can. So after his 12-hour shift, the officer returned to her home, spent 2 days cutting her grass, clearing her gutters, and improving her yard. And here's the officer talking about what he did.
It's a great story.
Pretty cool, isn't it? Very, very nice. Hey, Jim, we talked a lot about the weekend. Did you take part in the Clean Cruise this weekend?
What's the Clean Cruise?
The Clean Cruise. Dozens of EV owners, supporters, and advocates gathered on Saturday at Royal Oaks Memorial Park for this big, like, EV festival.
So it's like the Dream Cruise, but for EVs?
Yes, because it ended with a cruise down Woodward. No
Not
joke.
That loud.
Yeah. You never heard them coming.
I didn't know this was happening, and it's right in my backyard. Uh-huh. No.
It was a first of its kind celebration. There was like a wide range of activities centered all around environmental and health benefits of electric transportation. Okay. There was different EVs you could test drive. There was things for children out there to do, demonstrations, presentations, discussions, and then the cruise, the EV cruise down Woodward.
Imagine they pull up to the light, you know, they're both staring. He's staring over another EV.
Oh, yeah.
Is that revving the engine? Is that what that was?
Yes.
You can't rev the engine. You just go.
Hey, but they go.
They do go.
Yes, I will say
they
that. They
go
quickly.
The family of former NBA player Danilo Gallinari.
Nailed it.
Whoa. Yeah. They experienced a scary underwater incident.
Oh.
Yeah. His wife, who is pregnant with their third baby, was attacked by a shark.
What?
In Puerto Rico. Yeah, she posted a photo on Instagram where she's in the hospital recovering and noted that she never thought she'd be attacked by a shark, especially near the shore on a crowded beach. But lo and behold, she was. She did say she and her baby are fine, says that she was rescued promptly, and she did have to have surgery, though, to repair her poor bitten leg. But she said it went well. She did make some jokes. She said the shark would be hearing from her lawyer soon.
This is why I don't go in the ocean.
But it sounds like she was hardly in the ocean. Like, you don't even...
Have you not seen the videos? You're proving my point. Doesn't matter how shallow you are.
They'll find you.
They'll get you.
Let's see. We haven't heard about Jordan Hudson in a couple of months. She kind of went silent after the whole CBS interview thing went down. Anyway, she's back. So... She shared a single post on X and kind of let this Browns beat reporter, I might say her last name wrong, Mary Kay Cabot.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah, know that she did, if it's close anyway, that she didn't appreciate her joke. So on Friday, this beat reporter made a joke during the Pro Football Hall of Fame gold jacket dinner. And basically her joke was, quote, "Now I totally understand why Bill gave me such a hard time. I was 28 at the time and he just couldn't relate to a woman that old."
It's funny.
I mean, it's playful. It's silly. Everybody's been making fun about the age difference between the two of them, right? Like,
and she was bothered by this.
Yeah. So she didn't like the joke. Well, she didn't make her own reply. She reposted somebody else's reply that said, "Not much of a laugh. No wonder so many have contempt for the media, especially those who want to be the story rather than report on the story."
Oh, come on.
Have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst joke anyone has made about their age difference.
Yes. I mean, if you're going to enter a relationship with that type of age gap and have that type of public profile and persona,
right,
you got to know that some of this is going to head your
way. Take it in stride.
Roll with the punches. Anyway.
Make up your own joke and have fun with it.
Heather with the news. 97.1.
Hey parents, it's Heather. As the new school year kicks off, you've got a lot on your plate, and if you're like most, you appreciate knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your monthly bills. Well, Verizon has some big news that will bring you serious peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. Right now, you can get a single line for a low price of just $50 a month when you switch and bring your phone on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that amazing price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your back-to-school worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit today and ask about their 3-year price guarantee. Get ready for a smooth, connected school year. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Early results on our poll question. 60% of Tiger fans feel about the same. Post-deadline, post-Philly series, feel about the same. 24% feel worse. Only 16% feel better. Did see Finnegan. Did see Morton. Also saw Duran and saw the Phillies win 2 of 3.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll keep taking thoughts on it. 248-539-9797. This weekend...
Yeah.
Saturday night, date night. I saw one of the most egregious examples of relying on ChatGPT of all time.
Oh, please do share.
So we went out and did dinner, and then we did one of those like make your own candle things. You familiar with those, John?
No.
Heather?
I've heard of them, never done it.
So you go and like you pick the scents that you want to combine, and you can do candles or wax melts or lotions or whatever you want to do, right?
Get yourself a bar of soap.
John, I'm sure if you want one, they could do it for you.
You went candle making?
Yes, John, I went candle making. You got an issue with it?
Yes.
I'm sure Lisa would love to make candles. You should take her sometime. She's not a candle person?
No, she's not.
Worried about burning the house down or what?
No, not at all. I just don't think that's
it's not her thing.
No, it's not her thing. So I know that there's more to this story, which we'll get to in a moment. But Heather, if you asked Colin, "Hey, do you want to go make some candles with me?" What would his response be?
I'm sure he would but he would have questions like, right. "Will the game be on? Is there beer?" Or I don't know, you know, like,
"Yes, can I make a beer scented
yes.
candle?"
They were not serving beer at the establishment. We did dinner and then
sure
we did
you
drink.
Could probably get a glass
though?
Of wine.
No, they don't, but they should.
Oh, they don't?
Well, you need a liquor license.
Well, I thought that was the point of it. Like
you can't bring
like,
your own bottle.
Wine.
Yeah,
it's a good question. I didn't
get yourself a good old Pinot Noir.
You're fancy, John.
So fancy.
Yes, my wife loves it when they bring the wine menu.
Is that how you read it?
That's how I go full accent on all of them. Yes, it's which usually means that she, as soon as they say, "Would you like the wine menu?" and they like are going to hand it to me, she grabs it right away. No, you don't want him to have that.
The Pinot Grigiat.
Yeah. Uh huh.
So anyway, we get there. We're did our drinks and dinner, and this is just kind of hey, build your own candle. The people next to us were using ChatGPT to decide which scents would be a good combination, as opposed to their own nose. You're staring in front of the scents. The whole point is, what do you like? Do you like this combination? Do you like this scent? And they were sitting on the phone combining stuff on the ChatGPT.
I think you need to slow your roll just a little bit. Now,
where have we gotten where they can't even rely on our own senses, but ChatGPT will do it for us?
Well, okay, so you're talking about making a candle, something that you want to burn for scent and flavor in your house.
Yes.
You may have a scent that you prefer, but you're not necessarily sure what might go good with that. So you're not just going to go full, pine tree. Unless it's Christmas time.
You could build a Christmas one.
What goes well with that? I have absolutely no problem with them using AI to
agree with you,
pair.
John.
Thank you.
I do. It's almost like jumping on Google, though. It's the same thing. Like, I like the scent of a pine tree. I'm making, like,
yeah, what's the best way to make this?
Yeah.
But let's do this. You have a pine tree as one. And you go, Christmas time, maybe peppermint. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Smell it yourself.
Can you combine the scents to smell?
Yes.
Okay, so I've never done this, so
yeah,
I don't know what
done
it
this
looks
either.
Either.
I mean, and maybe they don't have, like, I bring up wine tasting because, it's not something that I don't have the palate to be able to decipher what is good and what is bad. It's just, I like this, and it may be a terrible wine, but it tastes good to me. They may not have the trained schnoz like you do.
Maybe they can't smell.
Big nose, John.
What's that?
Is it because I got a big nose, John?
I'm just referring to your nose.
Did they do any smelling? Was there any sniff tests at all, or no? Yeah. Like maybe they just lost their sense of smell. Maybe
could be
both the couples. Yeah. They don't. They cannot smell
because they were all smelled out.
No.
Well,
I don't
once
know.
You,
maybe
but
they
it
don't
could
have
also
that
be.
Scent.
Why would
you
I don't
get
know,
the
how
candle
you,
if you can't
how do you,
smell?
How do you cleanse your palate if you're, if you go to a wine tasting, right? You taste one wine, then they give you something to swish around and. Yeah.
They normally have like coffee beans. You smell.
Okay, so that
palate
cleanser for
yes.
your nose. Okay,
they normally offer something.
Did
like
you
that,
smell
I think.
The coffee beans?
There was coffee beans. You mm-hmm. could use that if you wanted
to clean the because if you smell one, then all of a sudden you smell another one. You're like, well, am I smelling these together? Because I still have that sense. Yeah.
My point
in
is,
my
if
nose.
You're gonna go, the experience is doing it yourself.
But
not
if you want to spend money on this and you want it to be perfect. When you bring it into your home, I have absolutely no problem with this.
I'd like to know if they stuck with what ChatGPT told them or if they did eventually wander into their own smells.
So from what I observed is they had, once you pick out the three or four that you like, then they let you actually take the oil and combine and smell. And I don't think they liked what they were building very much. Just judging body language from afar. Everybody's got their own different preferences. Just build the thing you like. It's going to be in your house or.
And they got their own. That's what they told ChatGPT. Like, I like this type of set flavor or scent.
Yeah.
Can you?
Whatever, I'd call it flavor.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
John walks in. What flavors do you guys have here? Oh, boy. Not one of these dudes.
Yes. We got another meathead.
Got any brewskis in the back?
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing to use it for, I don't think.
So then I do want to know what people have seen others doing. The term was sloppers.
Right, where you're using it to decide what to order off of a menu. That's far worse.
Well, I would prefer... I'm not going to sit there and tell anybody they're doing it wrong, but if I would, instead of relying on ChatGPT, if I'm at a restaurant, like I mentioned last week when you had the news story, I'll ask the waiter or waitress, what's good here? What's your favorite dish? I'm deciding between these two, which do you recommend? And then they generally recommend one and I go with the other.
So I did go on ChatGPT last week and picked a restaurant that we frequent. And I said, hey, you know, I don't eat meat. This is what I like. What would you... What should I order at this restaurant? And it didn't come up with my favorite meal. I was waiting to see if my favorite meal would be
up there.
But
maybe it came up with something that you were like, oh, I should try this. Maybe I would like it.
Not really.
Okay.
It's just the gall of it all. Like, you're at a restaurant. Ask the people who work there or go off of what you know. It's like surrendering any and all critical thinking skills to the almighty computer. Smell the stuff in front of you to pick the combination you want. Think for yourself.
Sound
Use
really
your brain.
Bad when you say that.
Think for it yourself.
Just, yeah. Thank you, Greg. There's a lot of smarm in there.
But it needs to be said, people. Think for yourself.
Did you give them looks of disdain? And just every time that they would pull out their phone, did you go...
No, I made a mental note to shame him on the radio, as anybody would do.
I get what you're saying. It does take away the creativity of doing things
yourself.
Yeah,
but maybe they're
not
creative people.
But... Well, clearly they're not.
Well, sure. Well, not everybody is as creative or has the scent ability as one James Costa.
I don't think I have some superior schnoz.
Apparently you do.
I just think you should experience life.
So
that's my bold take today. You should experience life.
Unrelated question, I guess. What candle did you create?
Okay,
what was your scent?
I did.
Did you bring it in for a sample? Yeah.
No, I can. We did wax melts. I can bring them in for you.
Wax melts.
So you need like a tart burner.
What's a wax melt?
Is that how you burn it?
So I joked about your wife. Kelsey doesn't want to burn down the house. She prefers the wax melts. I don't care.
Yeah, you melt them on like I call them
like
a tart burner, but it's like a dish with like a light,
like heat source,
a light bulb underneath.
Oh, okay. You could light a candle underneath that one.
You could. Absolutely.
You could, but most people don't. They use a plug-in.
Oh, it heats the base and then you drop in the wax and then it
So they come out like wafers.
Yes, like, kind of like cubes are the ways these came out.
Oh, okay.
But I did almond. Burnt sugar and vanilla bean.
Oh, it's like a Christmas cookie that I don't want to smell.
Yeah.
What?
I don't like vanilla.
Vanilla,
vanilla
sugar.
is a third tier. You don't like burnt sugar?
I like vanilla in my chocolate chip cookies, but not in, you know,
I thought
this was
a pretty easy crowd pleaser.
No, not for a candle, not for a scent in the home. I don't like it.
Really?
I mean, I might like it for a moment, but it's not something I'd want to burn
continuously.
Yeah,
walk
like
in there
anything.
And be like, yeah, it'd be a little bit offensive
with the sugar sense.
Yeah, no.
Well, it's not what ChatGPT told me to make, so I guess that was my problem.
Yeah,
you didn't do a bolognese.
They did not have that set. They had like 80 or 90 different options, not a bolognese.
Anything that smells like motor oil.
they have some of them. I mean,
I'm with you on this because this is a very creative environment. Like when you're going to, you're creating something. You don't have something tell you do something when you're creating something.
Yeah, but sometimes you leave in those situations with, oh, this is terrible. And you just end up throwing it away and it was a complete waste. So if you know you're not very creative, but you still want to have something that you made, why not go ahead and ask for some assistance? You're just offended they didn't ask you. Here, would you smell this for us?
I didn't want to help them. I was in my own little space doing my own little thing.
John would do like a backwoods smell.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Burning leaves.
Yeah, they have
offspring.
That. They have stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could have done like a real manly candle.
Give me
candle.
Offspring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got anything with DEET in it?
It's the worst smell.
Yeah. I want something that smells like fall. There you go.
There you go. You can do like fall leaves, rain, all kinds of
stuff. Okay, yeah. So then how do I put that together?
Ask ChatGPT.
I would.
Surrender all critical thinking skills. What do you guys think? What have you seen? Maybe you've done it. ChatGPT gone too far? What do you use it for? Let us know. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
A couple of years ago, my wife and I decided we needed a new roof. So we called Rapid Roofing, and it was a great experience from start to finish. Mike Beattie and his team showed up, and they told us exactly what needed to happen with our roof. We knew we needed a new roof, but didn't really know some of the repairs that we needed. So they outlined everything. It was a no-pressure sales event, and when we were done, I couldn't have been happier. In one day, and they do most roofs in one day, it was rip the roof off, make the repairs, put the roof back on, clean everything up, and be gone. And that's exactly what they did. They did everything they told us they would. If you want peace of mind and knowing that your roof is protecting your house, and I know a couple of things about protecting things, you got to give Rapid Roofing a call. It's 888-360-ROOF. That's 888-360-ROOF, or you can find more information on the web at rapidroofing.com.
How are you using ChatGPT? We've been flooded with calls and ticket texts. Heather had it in her news. Sloppers are people that let ChatGPT order their food for them off the menu.
They can't make up their own minds. They have to use ChatGPT for everything.
And as a part of date night on Saturday, we did dinner and then we went to a build your own candle place, which you think's hilarious, and so do some texts. But I saw people not like smelling the scents themselves, but relying on the computer to build the right candle for them. So we wanted to know, maybe it's you, maybe it's people you know, outrageous ways that you're using ChatGPT or just what you're using it for.
Yeah, I mean, like, so when I have anything I want to do at the house, I have an idea, I have a concept, but I'm also not the most creative person. So if we want to put new cabinets in a room, we're thinking about doing that in a room we want to turn into Teddy's playroom. So I'll ask ChatGPT or I'll ask AI or just Google, because it comes up with the same thing. Like,
yeah,
okay, you know, what are some options? What are we, you know, what could we do with this space? And I'll describe the space and they send me a bunch of options. There's a couple of like, okay, I like that. And it's something that I believe I could do. But then I'll also go to YouTube and say, how do you do this?
That's, to me, it's not that much different than using Google. We always Googled things. Yeah. What should I do here? What's the difference?
Well, that's like for maybe a skill you don't have. Like you can YouTube how to fix things or solve things.
Making a candle might be a skill that the people that you were with didn't have.
They made it so easy anybody could do it. Hell, I was doing it. I mean, smell a couple things. Do you like how these smell together? Throw them in the little thimble and they'll make it into your candle.
What was the makeup of the clientele? Were there any other dudes there?
It's like couples and women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Couples and women.
Yeah. Not a lot of solo dudes at the candle spot, if that's what you're asking. Ticket Texter says, no way
not
in hell.
Place you're going to pick up chicks.
No way in hell you'd get me to admit on the air I went to candle making with my wife. Embarrassing, Wes and Chelsea. Yeah. Wes, you sound insecure. Come on, buddy.
Oh, no. Wes, you sound like every man that I know except the one that sits across from me.
You would be ashamed to say you went and did something with your wife for a date night.
No.
You're insecure.
No, but I don't know that I would broadcast it here today.
Jim, you have a catio. Please sit down and shut up. Well, that's just not even about the topic. We could get that on any day that ends
in a
lie.
Well, it's about who makes you who you are.
What does that mean?
it's your personality traits.
People use ChatGPT all the time. At Cedar Point, they'll decide what rides to go on, John, in Lake Orion.
Or what's the best order to go in on the rides. Because it takes into account wait times and where you are in the park. Sure.
Costa, what was more entertaining to go with your wife, candle making or Red Wing games? Justin Hull didn't screw up any of the candles, so I think I'll go that way.
Which one smelled worse?
Oh, boy. The Red Wings in March as a scent. Costa, you're on date night. Why were you so concerned about other people around you? Pay attention to your date, Susan and Howell.
Thank you,
okay,
Susan.
Costa has become an angry old man yelling at clouds for a man who is still at awfully a young age.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I go back to what I learned as a child, and that is it's not necessarily what you say, it's how you say it. The smarm that comes along with it.
I mean, we have an alarm for it. I mean,
yes. Yeah.
Noted. Let's get to the people. Matt on a cell. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. So after I tell you the story, you'll understand why, but I changed my name for this story. So I actually work for Google, and I travel a lot, so I stay in hotels. And this one time I was in a hotel for 3 months, and the hotel tried to charge me $350 for something that I did not do, but they still charged the company card anyway. So I was worried because if my job would have taken that money out of my check. So what I did, I went on ChatGPT, and I had them, I put in like the hotel details, how long I stayed there, what room I was in, the address, everything. And they made a, ChatGPT made a fake receipt for me for like something, I put it for long-term parking. So they made a fake receipt, and I just did my job, and it totally worked.
Oh, so that's how you get away with the pay-per-view.
$350 worth.
3 months?
Yeah, well.
No, so what happened, they said that I was smoking in the room, and I don't smoke in the hotel rooms, but whatever, you know, hotels screw people over like that.
So you went right back at
it. I didn't want my job. Yeah, I didn't want my job to take my money because I didn't smoke in the room. So I gave it a shot. I didn't know if it would work or not. And it totally worked. And if it ever happens again, I'm going to do it again.
All right. AKA Matt.
Not Matt.
Right.
Yeah, I would say it's unethical, but it sounds like they were trying to screw with him. So he just met fire with fire. But yeah. It is scary what it can do.
Sure. Yeah.
You got to harness it for the right reasons, like making candles. Austin and Dexter, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Jim, I'm with you on the side point of from the creative aspect. I'm a musician, so I really believe that, you know, with a certain...
Oh, no.
You can hear me?
We got you now.
Ooh, yeah, we got you now.
All right, yeah. So I'm a musician, so I'm a big.
Come on.
Has to come from the heart and the soul.
It should,
and,
yes.
So that's important. However, that being said, I was building a new music studio in my house, and don't ever give me power tools, right? So I was trying to figure out what that was all like, and ChatGPT from, you know, developing the room, designing the aspects, some of the creative feel. There's a lot of science behind. Certain colors or scents or aspects of that will bring out certain aspects of creativity. So I wanted to explore that a little bit further and using those types of programs to kind of brainstorm and outline what it is you want to do. I got a lot of value out of that, and I was really happy with the results. So that was a really cool way to, you know, take something that was important from a creative aspect and give yourself the space to amplify that.
So it told you like what colors and what like what accents to use, the dimensions, that type of stuff?
Yeah, I want to soundproof it this way, or I'm trying to run, you know, I want to do this technical aspect with my equipment.
And you want it to sound good.
With that? But yeah. Correct. But if I'm going to build out the space, you know, I want to amplify my creative potential. Getting into the science behind that, those are really great resources to use for that kind of aspect. Candle making, I mean, they're candles. Let's just wing it and see what happens.
Right. Right. But, that's kind of, it's such low stakes. So it's low stakes.
He went full, Feng Shui?
Feng Shui.
Feng Shui.
you really are fancy.
What did you call it? Feng Shui?
Feng Shui?
Phone calls, ticket text, ChatGPT. What are we using it for? Something as low stakes as candles, people. It's 97.1.